live from the Sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, an inspiring today word that will help you battle through today's challenges. Listen and enjoy this exciting message and let the presence of the Lord work through you to reach the world for Jesus Christ. True love, pure worship, real answers.
Regardless of what's going on in the world, knowing that God has a cycle already in play, that we should be self-sustaining in his kingdom. So that's what we're going to be focusing on. Understand, when we talk about the kingdom of God, and we heard Pastor's message last week, which was great, where he focused in on tithing. Tithing's just one part of it. Those are certain things that have been set in place in the kingdom to help us be full, to be whole, to be complete, amen, to be well, amen. But so that was a very good message. It's one area that we need to look at, and we'll touch on that as well. But there's a lot of other areas. And basically, the reason I put cycle in this is because there is a cycle. Things come around. We know in God we have seasons, amen. And, you know, those seasons, they have their own cycle. And if we start to identify those cycles and identify what's going on, it helps us to navigate better. So I'm believing God's going to do some things. There's some things, trust me, there's some things God wants to get in your hands. And we know the enemy, he's sitting there like a goalie trying to keep you from getting the goal. He wants to confuse you and he wants to steal from you. And if we are not careful, he can come in and start making us do things and accept things into our habit or into our daily routine that will negate the kingdom principles that are supposed to cause us to prosper. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about all kinds of different areas that we'll get into. So if we can, I want to go to Matthew 6, 31. I don't know why people say that. If you can, surely you can. Go to Matthew 6. Unless you're tied up, you probably can go to Matthew 6. Matthew 6, 31. And say amen when you're there.
Amen.
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 It says in 31, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I know we've heard this scripture over and over. I want to deal with it. And all these things that shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now listen, I'm going to deal with that. I'm going to go back, but this scripture is kind of where we're going to, this is our main area we want to hook into. It's kind of strange though, as I'm reading this, because it's like, well, wait a minute. God, what are you saying? These things that you're saying, don't worry about what you're wearing. Oh, yeah, I got to remember to tell this thing not to rotate, darn it. It says, don't worry about what you will eat, what you will drink, or what you will wear. Now, understand, these are things that are very necessary, right? If you stop drinking, I'm not meaning alcohol, if you drink, stop drinking water even, that's very crucial to your living, isn't it? Food, you got to have food, okay? If you go out here without clothes on, we already know you're going to be tackled by somebody and taken off to jail, right? So why would he tell us not to be concerned about these things? In God's kingdom, well, it's like my children. I provide for my children. Ivy told Seth to take off a shirt that he had on. I thought it actually matched, but Ivy had told him to take this shirt off today. She said, that does not match. Now, yeah, she wants him to have on the right clothes, but plus he represents us. So God is saying, listen, you're mine. I got your food. I got your drink. I got you clothed. I know those are basic things you need, but don't be worried about those things. Don't be fretting around about those things. Amen? He's saying, I got this. Now, if you notice here, it says, for all these things the Gentiles seek, right? There's nothing that separates, and in this time, you're not talking about the chosen, when you talk about the Gentiles, you're not talking about the chosen people. And Pastor touched on that a little bit last week. But he's saying this doesn't even separate you from the heathen. They have to worry about these things. Okay? But that's not your mission. Those are small things. Know that that's taken care of. I've got you covered there, right? But what he'd rather you do is seek first the kingdom. So even though these things are things you absolutely need, if you had to go through, there's different need theories out there and different people that say there's basic needs and it goes up depending, first things that have to be met to, for survival, and it just goes up this little graph. One of the very basics, food, water, you need to be able to take care of yourself and have something to sustain you. That's basic, and that's okay. God's got that. Amen? But he's saying even before that, what's more important is that you seek the kingdom. If you seek out the king's domain. Now, sometimes when we're reading scripture, we say things like this. We say, seek God's kingdom. And we leave it like that. And we assume that there's seniors in here that don't know what that means. We know it means seek God's kingdom. But there's some babes in Christ who come in here and they like, okay, there's a kingdom. But we leave it at that. What does that look like is what I like to ask a lot. People tell me, I want to be prosperous. Okay, what does prosperous look like? Because prosperous for me looks different than prosperous for someone else. So I need to know, what does that look like? So sometimes we say, seek the kingdom. Okay, what does that look like? The kingdom is the king's domain. We have a king that we serve. And any of his territory, okay, we should see characteristics that represent him. It's amazing. I was in the mall one time in Columbus, and I ran into a person. I was at a Radio Shack. This is years and years ago. And I was at this Radio Shack, keep track of my time. but I was at this Radio Shack, and I would start talking to this guy that worked there, and he started talking, and I said, oh my, I could tell in his voice some of the things he said. He was just aggressive. Started talking about God and saying, oh, the Lord is awesome. And I could tell just the sound in his voice, the way he said it. I said, man, you go to World Harvest? He said, yeah, I do. I do. We have some great service. I said, I know your church is right around the corner from where I grew up. I've gone there several times. But I was amazed. I said, we weren't even together at the time. So it wasn't Ivy. I said, I can't remember who I said it to. But But anyway, I can't remember who I was talking to. But I said, man, isn't that amazing? You can always tell them Rod Parsley's people. They sound like him. And so here where it says seek the kingdom of God, a king's domain should have things in it that represents his kingdom. And if anything is in his kingdom that does not represent him, it's an offense to him, and he has to make it come into compliance. Amen? So what he's telling us is we need to seek first his kingdom. And so if I'm looking for his kingdom, I'm looking for things that represent him, things that look like him, things that talk like him, things that in my house that says I'm a part of his kingdom. There should be no contradictions. And he's saying if you will do that basic thing first, you don't have to worry about food. Because even though the world, they might have cut off your food stamps. Even though they might have said, look, your house payment's going up because of insurance or whatever it looks like, He is saying, if you're still doing the things I taught you to do and the things that happen just by seeking out my kingdom, you're going to walk in my provisions. Amen? Okay, I don't want to take too long there. So he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. If you seek first his kingdom, all these other things will be added to you. It just follows you. It's like a magnet. You know, you're a magnet, and that stuff's just chasing after you now. But you got to be seeking him out. Amen? It says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Listen, he's not saying don't worry about tomorrow because those things aren't important. Right? Let me show you what the enemy does. The enemy, if he can get you to operate, now, first off, another part of the kingdom is faith. Our being in the kingdom, a citizen of the kingdom, you have to operate on faith. Why? Because God wants you to look for a kingdom that you can't see. He operates in the invisible and he brings things to the visible, right? So you're telling the world, maybe you are, that I serve a different kingdom. They're like, well, where's your kingdom? They asked Jesus that, where's your kingdom? He's right there. But the thing is, you got to have faith to see God's kingdom. Amen? What the enemy wants to do is he wants to shake the very thing that will cause you to do that seeking first. If he can do that, he will get you worried like the Gentiles, like the rest of the world. I had a class where this man told me, the guy who I was, when I was working on getting a master's in business, the professor at that time, he was a finance professor, and he said, listen, if they cut the, and this was years ago, if they cut the Bush tax, if they cut the Bush tax cuts or rates, if they take that away, he said, I'm probably going to commit suicide. And he was serious. I'm like, man, my goodness. Because he was saying, I'm done. I'm going to lose so much money. And I thought, man, what a pitiful existence. See, the world, they're going to respond to things differently. But when you're in the kingdom, you understand a byproduct of being in the kingdom is to get to eat the type of things the kingdom the king has. Amen? And God's telling you, seek my kingdom. If you just do that, everything else is going to follow you. And so how do we seek his kingdom? What does that look like? Let me give you an example. I'm going to throw out several examples, okay? I just told you I've got a lot of scripture I could bring to you, but I want to bring it to where we're real, where we're here. So when I seek God's kingdom, it's a part of me being able to walk by this person who I know at times is offensive, and I'm not serious here. You're not offensive. But it would cause me to be able to be around this cat and understand that even if he was offensive and seemed to always say things that hurt me, that I could glean something out of him because I know he's a part of God's kingdom. There's some giftings on there that might be untouched. There's some ground that needs to be harvested, and who's going to harvest it? Who's going to work it? So I got to start looking for the kingdom. I said, you got to have faith to see it. So I got to be able to look out amongst you and remember, you're not handling someone of the world. You're handling a kingdom citizen. And so when I handle a kingdom citizen, I automatically should show some respect. What does it look like to seek ye first the kingdom of God? One, Pastor dealt with it last week. We know a kingdom principle is that you give 10%. The world will speak in your ear, that's foolish. Our accountant will speak in our ear, I won't say how much we gave. But they were like, my gosh, when they were doing our taxes, they were like, you got to cut out some of that, didn't they? I'm not exaggerating. But you know what? I really believe in that. When I have a car falling apart, when I have a door falling off the house for no reason, that was fine. And when I get home and the refrigerator stops working, when I go and get my check and I see it shorter than what it is, what's the first thing I ask, Ivy?
Did we tithe?
Did we pay tithe? You know, and just be honest, sometimes, you know, we pay tithe like we're supposed to, but it's also a thing of timing, you know? Just like you cut to pay, go pay your bills. Did we pay tithe? And tithe is me paying it first, not 10%. And so sometimes if something's going crazy, I'm like, what did we miss? Did we miss a tithe? That's the first place I go. I know it's a kingdom principle, okay? Because I want to behave like the king, or else he's got to bring me into alignment. And that's not fun. Amen? So he's telling us, seek first the kingdom of God. I don't want to hang out here too long. So let me deal with something real quick. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Righteousness is standing, or right standing in God, or proper way of doing things, right? We want to do things properly. It bothers me sometimes when I see people talk so mean to a waitress. So nasty, and then on the other hand say, bless God. Well, no, you just talked to God. God just served you. You know, and see, so when we expand our vision, it's kind of like when you filter and you're trying to search something out. You got to expand it. Sometimes we say the kingdom of God, but we don't realize the kingdom of God, you just cussed out. And so we think God's going to take care of us. And he's like, looking, no, don't be acting like that. Okay, so I want to go over to Luke 6:38. And I'll come back to this scripture here that where I just was. So he's telling us we need to be kingdom-minded. We need to behave like the king. Also, we can defeat what the enemy is trying to do. The enemy does not, he'd rather you focus on the small things, which is, what am I doing tomorrow? What if I get fired next week? What am I going to wear? You know, and if he can get you so concerned about these type of things, what you'll do is you'll cling on to every little bit of thing everything you've got. I don't know if you've ever noticed a kid who is used to being moved foster home to foster home or whatever, and maybe had been abused and wasn't given, neglected. That child, if he comes into your house a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times, that person, you'll find them storing up food even in their bedroom. It's because they don't know where their next meal's coming from. They're used to having to deal a certain way. The enemy would want you to cling to things that are not kingdom. Clothes is not important. You need them. First, seek the kingdom. All these other things will follow. Now, that's just an example, okay? But look in Luke 6. Luke 6, I'm going to start in 27. I'm just going to read this. I'm going to read from 27. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
It says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. I usually take that part out. No. No, please. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit? Oh, I wanted to skip this part, actually. This is good, but it's not pertinent to where I'm trying to get. Okay, so you see that part of the scripture there. I'm gonna come back and deal with that here in a moment. But then I want you to skip down. We just got done with 31. I want you to skip down to 35. And the part we're skipping pretty much is just saying, you know, the world does this other thing is, you know, you can expect something when someone owes you. You know, you love those who, it says you love those who basically are there for you. You know, it talks about things that it doesn't make an exception from the kingdom. But in 35, it says, but love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to those, he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful just as your Father also is merciful. And if you look further down there, it says, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. All of these are important. We're going to come back to it. Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Okay, now I read all of that. That's a lot. I read all that. I want us to go back. I'm really just trying to set a mindset here, so we're not going to deal with each little point. But this language is contrary to what's natural. If you look in 27, he tells us, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who spitefully use you. Somebody strike you, give them the other cheek to strike. If they take away your cloak, give them the tunic also. And I said, Lord, I don't like this. This doesn't make sense to me. And the Lord is really trying to tell me all those triggers. This is what he was telling me. All those triggers have been set up to get you to operate outside of the kingdom. Well, what do you mean? Why should I help somebody who spitefully uses me? Why should I help somebody? Why do I pray for somebody who's evil? Who's my enemy? Let me tell you, all of this that we just read right there, it's not for the person who we're praying for. It's so that God can keep the channels of his provision open for us and that we can continue to receive and live as kingdom citizens healthy. Because the flip side of that is if I don't want to pray for my enemy, if someone takes my cloak and doesn't return it and I look and I'm expecting it back, I'm going to wait and pursue them. I'm going to always be reminded, and it takes me energy. It takes my work to try to remember and to keep a tally. You know, in our marriages, we keep tallies. I did this for her. Now she's due this for me. I forgave her that time for this. That's so much work. But God's trying to help us to navigate those things that will distract us and cause us to lend over to our natural impulse, which is, somebody strikes me in my face, trust me, they're getting touched and not gentle. I'm sorry, Lord. That's really how I think. But I have to say, no, I'm going to do what God wants. But the truth of the matter is, that's your natural impulse, okay? But if I give something to you, yes, I would like to have it back. Maybe I gave you my favorite outfit that I love, and I say, fine, you can use it or use my jacket. I would like to have it back. But if I just go and consider in my mind, you know what? That might be gone. I might never see it again. I set myself up to not be upset, to not, you know, do something that I shouldn't do. All of this scripture right here is telling us, give. And now here's the push. It's like a boomerang. In the kingdom of God, giving is receiving. But your motive is not to receive. Your motive is just to operate like a kingdom citizen. Because you already understand receiving comes as a part of being a citizen. So you don't have to think about receiving. All you got to think about is giving, because that's God's nature. God so loved the world that he gave. Even the breath God requires of you to praise him, he lent to you. I mean, it amazes me when I think about God. He says, listen, I'm going to require something of you. Don't worry, I'm going to give it to you first so you can give it back. My parents used to do that. I used to laugh because we would get to church and it would be tithe time or offering time, and they would take out a quarter or whatever it was and they'd give it to you. And it was like, oh, okay, cool. I don't even have to offer up my own money. No, but seriously, the kingdom of God is a thing of giving. Because giving operates, your faith will operate based on your giving. Those who have faith understand whatever you got, you can get more. Why? Because it's just a part of being in the kingdom. He told me, if I seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto me. What things? Those things that are the basic needs that I have, those things that are necessary, but he also gives you the desires of your hearts. So it's not just that he's just going to give you the base things. Being in his kingdom means blessings. But the enemy wants you to do this. He wants you to clamp down. I gave you something before, you ain't getting it again. If he can get us to alter our behavior so we will resist doing things that should happen in the kingdom, then when the kingdom doesn't look like God, God's got to come and say, uh-uh. So when you rob God and you say, you know what, I got bills due. I cannot afford right now to give this tithe. Uh-uh, that does not compute in our house. I'm serious. I'm fanatical about this. I'm crazy about this. I really believe, and I've always lived this way, I don't care if there was a bill about to be past due. If I got tithe and I got a bill about to be past due, I'm paying my tithe. I cannot afford to have kingdom things not opened up to me. I cannot clog up the channels of what God has for me. And to some people, that sounds stupid, especially somebody who has a business major. It's like, are you out of your mind? What type of steward are you? I'm God's steward. Amen? So in the kingdom, there's a cycle of things that go on. And God wants to keep that cycle flowing. I give seed to the sower, he says. So when you sow and you're blessing someone, or, and it's not just money, understand, it can be friendship. It can be your time. Sometimes we don't take enough time for anybody. Then we want to turn around and we wonder, why is this thing stopping? Why am I not feeling rewarded in this area? You're not giving to nothing. You're not volunteering your time anywhere. I don't know about you, but if you've ever volunteered your time somewhere and didn't look for anything in return, how rewarding is it? It starts opening up opportunities. There's people who have gotten awesome jobs because they first volunteered. Kingdom principles are supposed to operate. How am I doing? You know, I saw a study, or I saw a documentary about an aircraft carrier, the USS Eisenhower. This thing was amazing. 1,000 feet long. It housed 5,600 people on this aircraft carrier. And one of the things they said, you know, it's funny. Sometimes I can watch something like this and Ivy laughs at me because something will be said and I start getting the shouting off of it. She's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you would get something out of that. But the man said, this nuclear weapon aircraft carrier, it does not need to refuel. It can go for 25 years, never refuel. I said, my goodness. And see, what that says to me, 25 years, that's amazing. But what's amazing is they got tons of these things. Well, not tons, but they got a lot of them. And here, my God made all of them. And he could cause something to run to be self-sufficient for 25 years. And that's just a little thing. So it started getting me thinking about God's kingdom. We're all supposed to be able to fund ourselves. You know, he wants us to be the lender. You know, and it's okay. Sometimes we need to go and borrow, but his desire is that we're the lenders. And isn't it weird? Lenders, you're supposed to look and expect to get a return, and that's fine. I'm not saying we negate certain basic principles. That's fine. But if you don't get the same return that you expected, don't allow yourself to start cutting off things. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm never giving to that. You got to sow wisely, but you just don't shut down giving. Now, I said all that. I want you to see this last part of 30 that we touched, or 38 that we touched on here in Luke. Luke 38, we've heard it over and over. But I want you to see the description. Really look into the description that he's giving here where he says, give and it shall be given to you. He's saying, if you will give, it shall be given. What does that mean if you don't give? It won't be given. Have you ever smelt water put into a container and just shut up? Water can be fresh at one point. You don't give it an outlet, it's going to get sour and nasty. The Dead Sea is, you don't want to try to eat out or drink out of it because there's no outlet. God wants you to have an outlet. So he says here, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure. You're going to get a good measure. It's not some, you know, I hate it when places up the price on stuff and then they shorten the portions. What is that? No, no. When you do what God tells you to do and you give, you're going to get good measure back. It's going to be pressed down. So it's not just that you're getting something. They're going to have to put an elbow up on that thing and press it down so you can have it, right? That's just how I have to think about it. And shaken together. You know, when you shake things together, it settles. You're packing these things. You shake it together. See, we've got a God of the abundance. I believe it's Psalms 100. I think I'm off. It's either 1 or 100 where it talks about, you know, where it says, don't accept the counsel of the ungodly nor stand in the way of the sinner, sit in the seat of the scornful. It said, but delight yourself in the way of the Lord or the law of the Lord. It says, you shall be like a tree planted by a river's edge. Anything in God's kingdom should be more than enough. A tree can grow inland. But he said you're going to be like a tree planted by the river's edge. You got a full supply of your source. That's what our God is saying here. He's saying if you will give, it's going to be given back to you good measure. But not that jet, not that. We're going to press it down and we're going to shake that thing together. And it's going to be given into you. Amen. That's what our God wants us to do. He wants us to be free to give. But when we're in fear and we operate out of the world's system, and we start looking at our consumer confidence, and we look at our GDP, our gross domestic product, and don't get me wrong, it's there. But the truth of the matter is, when everything else looks like it's doing this, God's people are sustained because the Gentiles worry about those things. You're not the Gentiles. You seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things should be added to you. Prosperity is in the kingdom. Now, I don't want to make it sound like prosperity means everybody's rich. I'm looking at this and I'm saying a wholeness in your mind, wholeness in your relationships, peace. You don't have to walk around feeling like you guilted or you did something that would make you guilty. You don't have to worry about when somebody calls, it's a bill collector. Some of it is just living within your means. You got to seek the kingdom. That means you don't overextend yourself either. Because a lot of us want to say the grace of God will cover us, so we overcommit ourselves. And then when the bill collector calls us and says, give me, you say, I'm a child of God. You don't treat a child of God that way. No. If you make a commitment, you're supposed to pay for it. The issue is you're supposed to stop making commitments that don't line up with the kingdom. And God would never have you overextend yourself. Amen? So don't be mad at the bill collector. The bill collector expects Christians to honor their oath. Amen? So if you sign the promissory note, you're saying, I'm going to pay it. But let's look at something here real quick. I'm just going to throw out some things. And I know I'm getting long, right? Okay. I'm not going to go to the scripture, but I want you to think about Exodus 16. In Exodus 16, there's manna. Yeah. And the manna was there to provide for the people. Manna, it's called, what is it? That's it. That literally, what, nobody knew what it was. They didn't know where it came from. But basically, that manna was on the ground, and you could read all about it. But they were told clearly what to do. And I told you our kingdom operates on faith. So when I stand in front of you, or when anybody stands in front of you, listen, when God says to you, pay for their dinner too. And you're thinking, oh, I don't know how I'm going to make that. Just pay for the dinner. The one who holds the kingdom, he knows what he's doing. So I don't know. You might pay for the dinner. Next thing you know, somebody's coming up and, hey, here, I got you too. But here, you got to operate on faith. So here with the manna, God told them, only take enough for that day. And as you read it, you'll see it. Only take enough manna for that day. Why couldn't they store up manna? Because they'd be like that kid, not knowing if they were getting another meal. And God's saying, no, I am your God. I got this. You're a part of the kingdom. You're a citizen of the kingdom. I've got this. If you'll just follow me, you don't have to worry about it. Let tomorrow handle tomorrow. Let's eat today. Let's eat today. So he says, go and get your manna for today. Now, those who got too little manna, their level came to where it should be for that day to make sure they had enough. Those who got more than he told them to get, which was not a day's portion, it rotted, right? There was only one day they were allowed to get 2 days' portion, and that was on the sixth day because they had to observe the Sabbath, and that was fine. But the issue was, are you going to trust him for tomorrow? And some of us right now miss out, and all I'm trying to deal with is us short-circuiting what God has for us. And the way it happens is this: if the enemy can enter in and cause fear in your heart to not know how things are going to turn out for you tomorrow, he can come in and he can start messing with you to where now you say, God, I know, but I got to make sure I'm covered tomorrow. I got to make sure I got the next week covered too. Let somebody else do that. Now, that type of behavior is not kingdom behavior. And so what happens is you short that cycle of giving and the flowing that takes place. And God wants that thing to stay open, because why? He's dealing with people who trust him. Anytime they tried to stack up more manna than they were supposed to, it rotted. Amen? So what I'm trying to say to us today in this place, and I'm going to go through 5 little points and I'm done. I already got the signal from my wife that I'm going too long. I asked her to do that, so she's not in my way. She's doing what I asked. Here's what I'm going to throw these out real quick. To summarize, to be successful and live well in the kingdom, we must do some things. We must look beyond ourselves. That's number one. Look beyond yourself. In that first scripture where it talked about worrying about these small things, that's because you know they're necessities to your living. But if you will look beyond yourself and step out, it takes faith to do that, you will find the kingdom. Number two, pursue the kingdom of God. How do we do that? We got to take the parameters off of what the kingdom of God looks like to us. It's one thing to look for, okay, healing. Okay, that's great. Provision. Okay, that's good. Gifts of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit. Okay? But to identify the people next to me and understand they're kingdom citizens, and if they advance, we all advance, I should make it a mission to find opportunities to cause you to excel. I should speak words over you that will cause you to flourish. Because in doing that, somebody's going to help me in my dream. It will help us to prosper. Number three, act on behalf of the kingdom. That's part of that. So when you pursue the kingdom, some people will pursue the kingdom of God. They might identify it and leave it alone. But no, you've got to actually put yourself out there and act on it. Number four, you must sow without contradiction between deed and speech. Zechariah's mouth was shut up. when it came time for John to be born, well, when the angel spoke to John, Mary and John, or Elizabeth and Zachariah, were going to have John the Baptist. But he couldn't believe it. And so because he could not believe it, his mouth was shut up. God didn't want him to speak anything against that. Amen? Now, when we go and sow, it's one thing to sow good seed. We've done the good deed. But if you speak about it the whole time, I can't believe I gave that to the church. That's just it's contradiction. And you still short circuit what you were trying to get done. Amen? Number five, you must forgive, forgive, forgive. Unforgiveness will stop the blessings of God from flowing in your life. In Mark 11, right after verse 23, I think it's 24, but it talks about a guy's trying to go before the Lord, and it tells him to make things right with his brother. So even as you come to the Lord, when you come to the Lord with unforgiveness in your heart, you do not penetrate like you need to. Because you're not here, you're living under grace, but you're not showing grace. Amen? Well, I tried to time this one out a little better this time. So those five things, and did everyone get the five? Okay. Those are things we must do. And that's Otis's version. I mean, somebody else might word it different. But those are things we must do, and it's supported by the scripture, if we're going to be prosperous and if we're going to live well. Do not allow yourself to have any roadblocks set up to stop you from receiving what God has for you, because he is a good God. Amen. Now, I will tell you, our giving to this church, I know it's a good seed. This is the place I called home, and this is where I give. My offering, I could give offering other places, but I know when I give to this church, I'm sowing into good area, good soil. Amen? And I know God will bless it. So, all right, let's stand up. Is there anyone here tonight or today that does not know the Lord? I don't want to miss that opportunity. Actually, I'm looking and I think I know everyone in here, but anybody want to give their life to the Lord? Pastor Chris, we'll get you later. I know, I got to be funny. Anyway. All right. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you so much for this time. I ask that the word will have done what it's supposed to and that they will receive what is of you. And anything that was of Otis that it's not important, let it fall to the side. Father, give us opportunities to operate, to further your kingdom, to exercise our faith in you and our belief in you. You control this whole thing, Father God. This is your system. Regardless of what oppositions come against us in the world, Father God, we are going to cling to you, and we will not sacrifice our behavior as being kingdom citizens. We will not compromise that. We'll do what you have for us to do, Father God. And we thank you for it right now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Rob Barber. Thanks for listening to our message today. We're excited about what God's doing here at Bethel Worship Center and in the body of Christ at large in 2012. If you'd like to learn more about the ministries here at Bethel, please visit our website at www.bethelwc.org. God bless you and have a great day.